Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Whether you're looking to build a website for your business, your hobby, your podcast, or just for fun, Pear Networks is your go-to web hosting partner. Not only do we have the lowest domain price in the industry, starting at just $11, we've got hundreds of stunning website templates to help you stand out from the crowd. You're not a techie? Not a problem. With our easy DIY site builders, you can launch your impressive website without any technical know-how. And when it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. Check out pair.com today to learn more. PAIR.com.
Welcome to the Growler, a food and podcast hosted by Paul Dana and other bald friends like Mo Egger, Dave Nanamis, home of all your Bengals breaks, takes. Welcome to the Growler.
All right, welcome into the latest edition of the Growler. It's Balds Don't Lie. Paul Dana Jr. here with you on a Monday. We, of course, are still deep in the midst of draft coverage here, and which is presented by our good friends at BetMGM Sportsbook at the Banks. Joe Nuxallway in second. Great venue down there, of course. Now, this is a clip show. We talked to you about this, about we were going to kind of give you, we get all of these calls. The draft weekend is full of pick interviews with coaches, coordinators, talking to players on the phone not too long after they get the news that they've been drafted by the Bengals. And it creates lots of interesting conversations. And then these picks from the previous day come in and they go through the building and you're still, the other picks are happening. And then the next day, oh, there's more picks are coming in that from Friday are in now. And all these other things are happening. Conference. There's just a lot of conversations that happen. I've just plucked out a few that I just wanted to kind of bring to you. And I'll talk through them a little bit, but mostly I just want to kind of let you hear from some of these guys. And then, of course, today, Monday, we go in there. It's the first open locker room after the draft. Talk to a few people about what we learned this weekend. DJ Turner, Dax Hill, about Dax Hill's move, which we'll bring up here in a second. Talk to Ted Karras about no interior offensive lineman being drafted. I'm going to bring you him here in a little bit. So lots of good stuff to kind of just tick through today. You'll hear from Amarius Mims, Josh Newton, Eric All. You're going to hear from Lou Anarumo and Zach Taylor on the Dax Hill move. You're going to hear from Ted Karras from today. All of that stuff coming your way here on this show. But tomorrow's show, which is one that we have been, of course, talking about for a long time here, and that is what is going to be happening down at Nation Kitchen and Bar at the Banks. At Nation Kitchen and Bar at the Banks, we are going to have Bengals Director of College Scouting Mike Potts join us. Myself, Jay, Mark Chalifo, all going to be down there. And we're going to talk to Mike about these picks, breaking down how it happened, the background with these guys, the path kind of through the whole draft, and they end up with 10 players that they have spent a lot of time scouting and looking into and learning about. And so we're going to kind of talk through all that with him. You guys can come down and check it out. It's going to be a great time. Of course, Nation has delicious food, crack some burgers. We got the tots with pots. I think we decided on, we like that. Tots with pots is going to be going on. Anything you want, corn dogs, you know, it's awesome. Have some drinks with us. Going to be a great time down there. We hope to see you down there. 7 o'clock. Tuesday, April 30th, Nation Kitchen and Bar at the Banks. Going to be a blast. Hope to see you down there. Well, let's kind of dive into this. And let's start where you should start with this draft. And that's at the top. That's with the first guy. and that's Amarius Mims. And a lot was made of the Mims pick, and then you had the Nick Saban reaction. That certainly became a thing with Nick Saban essentially questioning that Amarius checked himself out of the SEC championship game and wonder if he's got, you know, all of that loving ball nature to play through stuff on the NFL level. Was the questioning that was made there by Saban? Well, Mims comes in on Friday and he goes through the building and he's talking to local media, you know, doing his TV junket and a press conference and all that stuff. And he ends up in a little scrum with a few of us writers. And I clipped out about 3.5 minutes of this as we kind of talk about some of the stuff that has followed him, you know, being the biggest guy and his background in that coming up and what happened with Saban and some of the questions that have surrounded him. I thought this would be a good thing to bring to you. So here's Amarius Mims, Bengals first round pick, massive right tackle. This is from Friday inside Paycor Stadium.
What did you take from your freshman year at Georgia?
You got to be patient sometimes.
Yeah.
I came into a deep room, and, you know, I was expecting, you know, putting like hard expectations on myself to play. But, you know, sometimes it don't work like that. You know, I just really had to sit behind Jamari and Warren and those guys like that and just learn, man, because, you know, I don't have all the answers. So just learning from older guys, you know, trying to get better.
I know you briefly were considering transfer. What brought you back and what made you see that as a place to stay at and stay loyal to?
Definitely just a winning culture. I like to win. And like I said, I knew Georgia was the best fit for me just because the coaching, you know, practice is harder than games. Believe it or not, it is. Our practices are harder than our games. Like I said, I knew that's what I needed.
Who was the toughest practice player to consistently go against? I'm sure you can list them all.
The whole 21 defense. All of them. The whole front seven.
Yeah.
The whole front seven.
Well, what were those battles like for you? I mean, was that a win some, lose some? Or
it was more lose some. But you know, they got me ready, and they got me to be the guy who I am today. So I appreciate all those guys.
What'd you make of the video? There's that video of you being, like, just so much bigger than everybody else.
It's my high school.
Yeah, how many times have you seen that?
Man, I watched it a lot. Everybody sent it to me during the pre-draft process, and I'm like, I pray they, like, deleted all those clips and nobody can find those. I was hoping they don't bury them in the backyard. But it just brought up memories. I remember that game. That was for the written championship when we lost. But it is what it is. It still sticks in my head.
Why'd you want to bury the tape? Why'd you want to?
Man, just because I was like, dude, I forgot why I was moving like that. I forgot. Like, what was going on? I was like, man, like, what is going on? I don't know what happened. But, you know, I'm thankful I'm not that no more.
It is.
What was the biggest thing you learned as you kind of, you know, battled through that, and kind of what kind of maybe is the biggest lesson you took away from everything?
Honestly, like I said, I feel like you can bounce back from anything. Originally it was supposed to be an 8 to 10 week period because it went over to my deltoid, but like I said, I was able to rehab that fast and, you know, get back in 6 weeks. So,
what happened in the SEC championship?
I reactivated that the same ankle that I had surgery on. That's what it was.
Did you see what Nick Saban said last night, by any chance?
Yeah, a lot of people have been talking about it, but I mean, it is what it is. I ain't going to get into that.
Is that something that's, like, frustrating that's being said or held?
Like I said, everybody has their own opinions of me. I try not to really, I don't really care what he said or what he had to say, honestly. I'm just glad to be a Cincinnati Bengal.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
Did Alabama ever recruit you?
Yes, sir. I was verbally committed to them for a while.
You think that played a role in maybe some of the criticisms?
Like I said, I don't really know too much. I got a lot of respect for Coach Saban, even when he said that he's one of the greatest college head coaches. Like I said, it is what it is, but, you know, I'm just glad it's Cincinnati Bengals.
When you were younger, were you ever not an offensive? Were you like a running back?
I was a middle linebacker.
Oh, my.
I thought I was going to be the next Ray Lewis, just being honest with you. I was like, man, but I got to high school. In middle school, changed the defensive end. Then my junior year of high school, I started playing tackle.
Did you have issues with, like, because you can't, especially in lower levels, you can't play if you're too much bigger than everybody else?
So what happened was I had to play two age groups above my age because I was taller than everybody. I was younger than everybody, but taller than everybody.
Okay.
But I used to hurt my classmates, and they made me, like, put a stripe on my helmet, so I couldn't carry the ball. And I had to keep a copy of my birth certificate at the rec department. And I was like, it was wild. My mom and dad can attest to that. They literally forced me to move two age groups above. And I was younger than everybody. They said they would not sign their kids up if I played in my age group.
There's Amarius Mims. Kind of going on a bunch of different topics. I got to tell you, I mean, I love the idea of being a parent of an opposing kid playing football. And you see that man who looked like a man probably in junior high at that point. Like, yeah, no stripe on the helmet, please show me a birth certificate. I'm going to need to see that. About Amarius Mims, which is just a wild thing. I'm assuming obviously it wasn't the first time he had heard about what Nick Saban had to say. And I think the fact that you not only you handle it with class, but complimenting Saban in the process. I mean, look, all he can do is go out there and work. People can say whatever they want to say. These guys, I mean, you just get used to that in the draft process. There's just going to be so much of what is going to be said about who you are, who you were, and everybody has their opinion. Inevitably, it comes down to these guys handling it the right way. And, you know, that's kind of seems to be what he did. I thought he acquitted himself really well through there's a lot of ask to these guys. You're a college kid. Some of them haven't had a ton of exposure to media coming in a room with that kind of pressure. You're a big time first round pick, and you know, there's a lot of interview questions, a lot of things that are brought on you. You're meeting your coaches for the first time, or at least maybe the second time if you came on a 30 visit. It can be a lot. And Mims certainly seemed to have a good time. He got to kick it with Orlando Brown and later with Ted Karras as they went out to Carlo and Johnny's for a meal. So a lot going on there, but seemed to really take it really well. The next clip that I want to bring to you is of the fourth round pick out of Iowa, tight end Eric All. In this piece, I picked just because I just found it. You know, you draft day stories, how you got the call, what you were doing, and some of the background on that is always great. And this was just one little piece of that, of what Eric All was doing, what was going on. Of course, local guy, Fairfield High School. What he was up to when he got the call early on Saturday, as he was the Bengals' fourth round pick. Here's a part of the conference call, the beginning part with Eric All.
Eric, congratulations. How do you feel about being drafted by your hometown team?
It's kind of surreal, you know, just back home in Cincinnati right now. Just at my high school stadium, you know, we had, you know, a little get together out here. So it's just kind of crazy. Everything came back in a circle, you know. I'm excited.
What was it like getting the call from Zach? What was going through your mind?
I was just like, we were doing a workout, so it kind of caught me off guard. We were all working out, and when I got the call, I was like, no way, and answered, and you know, I just couldn't believe it. It was just crazy. I had to make sure I wasn't getting, you know, prank called for a second, but yeah, it was crazy.
Yeah, a call from the 513 is not a dead giveaway. In your case, it could be anybody, right?
As soon as I seen the 513, I already knew. So,
who are you working out with?
My best friend from my old school, Hamilton. We were working out. We were hitting some chest and arms.
Why were you working out now? Did you think you might go later?
What'd you say?
Why were you working out now? Did you think you might go later, or just it was the only time?
No, I was just, he's like, you want to hit a workout? I was like, yeah, let's get, because I, you know, I was just, you know, I had to move around, you know, I was nervous, so.
there's Eric All. I just love the idea of, look, I'm just hitting some chests and arms, and, you know, got his buddy from Hamilton. Shout out to Hamilton. Jan, love that. Just hitting some chests and arms just on the day. And all of a sudden the phone rings and your life has changed and you're staying home in Cincinnati. They had the party going on there at the high school. And so everybody was inside and he kind of goes in there after everyone's losing their mind. But when the pick actually happened, it was workout time, man. And we were talking to DJ Turner a little bit today, and he knows Eric All really well. They came in the class at Michigan together, and said, yeah, you heard that he was working out when he got his call, right? Like, yeah, actually, he told us all the stories. So, yeah, that's him. That's Eric All. That's who he is. I mean, there's a workout to get to be done, you know, just absolutely loves it, is always focused like that. And he's going to put in the work. It was sort of, he felt that was kind of really indicative of the type of guy they're getting here called. Other thing DJ Turner had to say, he said, you know, not for the injury, even before the injuries, everybody said, that's first-round tight end right there. That's first-round tight end. And there's a lot of belief of what he can be and when healthy and what he was really whenever he was healthy. And so the thought being, if you get some version of that, who they were calling a first-round tight end at that time, that it could certainly be a steal. And you can see why a team like the Bengals would love to chase down and be invested in a player like Eric Aul. Okay. Want to take a quick break and talk to our good friends here, of course, sponsoring all our draft coverage, our good friends BetMGM Sportsbook at the banks. I mean, I hope that you guys know about it right now. It's right across from GABP, Joe Nuxall Way, 2nd Street. It offers a one-of-a-kind experience, 350-square-foot video wall, 3 in-person wagering windows, self-service wagering kiosk, a fully covered outdoor patio with seating, TVs, the exclusive VIP lounge, which I was just down there today. It's seriously, you should consider if you want to have a party with your friends, unbelievable back there. You get your full bar set up and everything. You got all the TVs, stuff that you want. Get your own space, your own room. It's awesome. And you go back there, it's designed to kind of cater to sports enthusiasts, easy for me to say. Gaming and entertainment experience includes your very own private bar, state-of-the-art screens, luxurious seating. It is the fusion of high-end sports entertainment and culinary excellence. You absolutely can't beat it. You should try to book something down there, a great venue. Come on down there on tomorrow night. It's going to be great. Check it out. Great spot. Okay. Let's move on here a little bit, and I want to go to what has kind of been a little bit of a topic, which is the understatement of the century. That's Dex Hill. What's going to happen with Dex Hill? What's the plan? What's the plan? We told you a little bit the other day about, you know, they're going to move him to corner. But I wanted to specifically kind of give you the comments from Lou Anarumo first and from Zach Taylor from this weekend regarding the Dex Hill topic. So here is first Bengals defensive coordinator Lou Anarumo, and then head coach Zach Taylor.
Lou, would you like to add a veteran presence? A lot of young guys in the corner room right now. Would you like to add a veteran presence if that's possible going forward now?
I mean, I just think we'll see how after, you know, today finishes out, and, you know, you never say no to some things, but I feel good with where we're at right now.
Is there any, you know, ability to announce the plan on Dax Hill? You know, where are you guys at with that?
Again, that's something that, you know, we're continuing. I love the guy. I love everything about him. But we're gonna see and stretch his sea legs and see where he's at when he gets back here and put him in a number of different spots and see what fits him best and us.
You know, he'll be in the corner room right now. You know, now that we've got through the draft and seen how the draft's going to lay out, it doesn't make sense for me to address that now. So, you know, he's done a good job. He's known that. he did a good job, you know, speaking how I wanted the guys to do that until I say something. But he's going to have a chance to go out there and compete in the courtroom.
What can he do at corner? Will he be competing to start, and why can he do it?
Yeah. One of the reasons you took him was because of all the different various things you'd seen on tape from him. You know, he's a superb athlete. He's got great size. And you know, he did a good amount of coverage at Michigan, you know, playing inside there, covering slots, played some outside. So we've seen it from him, and we think it's the best opportunity right now to help our team. And so, again, that's the versatility is what made him the pick that he was. We're really excited for his future. He has done a tremendous job embracing this opportunity, and I'm excited to see him go out there and compete.
Outside.
He's got flexibility to do it all. You know, so again, we've taken a lot of guys that have a lot of flexibility. And so those guys really all start outside, and then we shake it all out and they play inside. And just the way it all shakes out, they get opportunities to do both. And so I think that there's a lot of flexibility there.
You think he could push for a potential starting job?
I do. Yep.
There's Zach Taylor, you know, yeah. Can compete for a starting job. That's the idea. I don't think they wouldn't be moving him there if they didn't expect that to be the case. And Dax, today, kind of speaking of, yeah, no, this is where I'm going to be. This is a chance for me to find some stability and find his place in this league. And he's kind of struggled to accomplish that to this point, whether it be for not playing as a rookie or just not going as well last year. And I think there's a thought that this could be the spot that fits him where he needs to be and can be exactly what the Bengals want. And we'll see how that plays out. But he does seem to have the right attitude about it. Certainly seems to be in the right frame of mind. And they'll go out there and see what it looks like. I think it's going to be an offseason where every day is going to be, every time they're out there doing a practice, an OTA, a mini camp, whatever, is going to be testing to see how does Dex look. He is out there competing. He is competing against DJ Turner, and he's showing what he can do. And they'll figure out what that means by the time they get to camp or a little bit closer to the regular season. But for now, it's wide open, but that's where he's going to be. It's pretty clear there's not a spot for him in the safety room, so I don't know that this is necessarily been hard to figure out necessarily, because the draft was hanging in there. It could go either way, but look, outside corner being the first spot where he starts is notable, and we'll see what it ends up looking like. He will also be joined by fifth-round pick Josh Newton out of TCU. You may have heard us talk about this call the other day. You may have seen tweets about this call the other day. It was just funny. It was just fun. Josh Newton, by the way, sounds like the ultimate ball-loving dude that has responded to adversity and been about everything that you want him to be about and as real can be since day one, according to all the scouting reports. You look, there's, I know Dan Hord tweeted this out, a video of a speech that he made at one point that is out there. Appears to just be made of the right stuff. The question with this was, it is announced before we do these calls, hey, you're on with the Bengals media. They'd like to ask you some questions, but you just been picked. There's a party going on, and you're trying to navigate all that madness, and questions are being thrown at you left and right. It can be a little crazy. And Josh is just kind of like, I don't know if he necessarily knew exactly who he was talking to, but he was just kind of being himself, being loose, and you felt like you were at the party. And, you know, it also kind of felt like you were watching The Wire. Shit. That's right. It was just fun. I enjoyed this. It made me laugh. In fact, laughing so hard, I could hardly even open my mouth at all. We were all on the outskirts, just kind of trying to hold it together because it was quite a fun call. So let's bring this is a edited for brevity here version of the Josh Newton conference call with reporters, the cornerback at TCU after he got selected on Saturday.
Sounds like you got a fun gathering going on there.
Yeah.
Fill us in. Where are you and who's there?
What did you say? Say it again?
Yeah, fill us in on where you are and who's there.
I mean, what's my role as of right now? But it's all my family, really, dog. Like, it's a lot of us here.
Yeah. Come
out here. So we are just trying to organize, take pictures and everything. No.
Nice. Nice. What we was all it, hold you for too long.
What was it like when you got that call from the Bengals?
Really, man, just relief. Yeah, just, you know what I'm saying? Being in the draft, man, you can't get caught up in, you know, certain things. So, you know, you just got to be patient. And I waited my turn, and I got the call.
Bengals defensive coordinator Lou Anarumo said that he likes that you could play inside and outside. Do you feel comfortable at both and doing both?
I don't give a damn what I play in the league.
You'll play anywhere.
I don't play anywhere.
What do you come think? On, y'all.
They out here playing tag and shit.
What do you think? Yeah. What do you think you do best?
I mean, honestly, I like outside because shit, really the best is, you know, outside shit, that outside money. Really. But man, I really don't. Yeah, if I had to pick, yeah, outside, because you know the outside money. Then you know that's the X matchups and all that. So I mean, bro, it's whatever I fit in and whatever the coach need. Like I'm trying to be a Swiss Army knife. I ain't trying to be in one spot. I want to be used multiple ways.
How do you make so many plays on the ball? A lot of pass breakups and picks.
I feel like having a receiver background, just not being able to not panicking when the ball's in the air, just had the same receiver mindset. Like the ball going in the air is mine. So That's really it.
What kind of competitor are you, Josh, in the secondary?
Shit, ultimate.
How would you characterize that?
Kobe Bryant.
As in the Mamba.
Yeah, that's the only Kobe Bryant I know.
Come on, Craig. Did you meet with the Bengals? And if so,
I did.
How did those meetings go? And what stood out from your time with them?
Shit, well, first of all, they stood out was they reached out. You know what I'm saying? That's just, yeah. I'm just a big, humble, grateful guy, man. So, just know my story. I'm just very appreciative. You know what I'm saying? So, shit. But my meeting with them was like, it was great.
So what do you know about the team?
It had to be great enough for y'all to pick me.
So what do you know about the Bengals defense? What do you think about the defense?
Shit, I think it's good. I think it's on its up, like on its way to be one of the top defenses in the league.
Bengals first round pick Amarius Mims. You remember him from the national title game?
You said who?
Amarius Mims, their first round pick. Do you remember him from the national title game?
What, he from Georgia?
Yeah.
What did he play?
Tackle.
Offensive tackle.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember him a little bit.
Josh, what do you think playing in big games is, how has it helped you in your career?
Shit, that's the only way you're going to play in the big league. Shit, straight up. So it helps a lot. It helps you, like, thrive. It helped me thrive in bigger moments, honestly.
Josh, I think you've broken the record for the most shits in a post-draft teleconference, and we appreciate the hell out of it.
I appreciate it, man.
Yeah, congratulations.
Thanks, Josh. Appreciate you. Congrats.
I'll see you guys soon.
Thanks, Josh Newton. Yeah, it's just great stuff. Just fantastic. And I don't know if we've ever actually tried to log the record for the most shits in a single press conference, but I don't think we need to know what number one is. But it was great. My favorite part is the kids playing tag, and he just kind of gets frustrated. Yeah, how do you play a tag? Come on, man. Give me a break. I'm trying to talk to the media. You know, we've all been there. We've all been there. There's a lot going on. You have an important call happening. You got some kids out here playing tag or something. Just, it's got to be said. That, and of course, our great friend of the program, Mike Petralia, the Mamba, which is just a legendary drop at this point. Only Kobe Bryant I know. All right. This is a great opportunity for me to tell you guys about our good friends at my2dheroes.com. You've heard us talk about My2D Heroes before. You get these any figures that you want. They end up, they're about 40 inches tall. They attach to your wall, or you can get magnets too. They're of all kinds of stuff that you had when you were little. The action figures, like the wrestling action figures, Hulk Hogan, Andre the Giant. You know, I was always an Ultimate Warrior guy myself. So, you know, I love the Ultimate Warrior, but it's about 40 inches tall, and you put them up on the wall, outdoor safe, waterproof. You can easily hang them. Just a couple of command strips. They're fun. It's a great for the collector who has it all to kind of augment that. You know, it's all kinds of vintage action figures and toys, including they got Frozen, you know, my girls, Elsa, Anna, they're all about it. You can go there. There's Star Wars stuff, you name it. Go to the site, my2dheroes.com. That's my2dheroes.com. Go and check it out and get yours. They're awesome. Okay. Let's go with one more here for you that I've got, and that is Ted Karras. So Monday after the draft, always a big, hey, let's go and talk to the people who kind of were put on notice or maybe weren't, in the case of Ted Karras, where the Bengals didn't select an interior offensive lineman until the 7th round. So you go, you check in. Of course, Ted always happy to talk about anything you want to and had plenty to say about his dinner. He went out with Amarius Mims and Mims's family and Eric Ball, who of course works with the players on the player side, Orlando Brown, went to Carlo Johnny's, told that kind of a lot of the background there about that that night how it went. But that Friday night, they also were watching the draft, and he was watching the draft very, very closely, wondering what was going to happen. Look, he is 30. He is in the last year of his contract. He has seen this show before. What's going to happen? Is there going to be a draft pick in his room? Is it going to be somebody who's a top pick? And so he kind of talked pretty open and honestly about that whole process. And so I just want to kind of bring you a little bit of that conversation. This is from Monday with Ted Karras.
How close are you watching the draft to see when they might pick us?
I'm obsessed with the draft. So. I'm very anxious about it all the time. So.
How obsessed? Like, you knew Matt Lee obsessed?
I did not know Matt Lee.
No. Like, you're deep into, like, the however not far down the
chart. I was joking around. There's always a level of anxiety for any NFL player in any year when you watch the draft, so...
Have you reached out to Matt Lee?
I have not yet. No.
Do you relish that role, that kind of that mentor role? I mean, everybody knows that's kind of what you have to do as a pro, is bring the new guys on. But is it something you really enjoy?
Oh yeah, it's great. I mean, I've had so many amazing older guys, and now I'm kind of that role, and have been for a few years now. So no, I haven't gotten anyone's number. I do have Amarius's now, but very much looking forward to welcoming these guys in and helping them out any way I can.
So is there now a sense of relief? Has anxiety been replaced by relief then?
I think once you get through, like, the third round is when your anxiety can subside.
So Friday night you're at the dinner and you're, like, scanning pretty
No,
closely.
We're watching the TV. We had it on the TV.
Please, please, please.
D-line. Like, Thank you, Chris Jacobs.
Yeah, right. Yeah. All that stuff.
I mean, I think that anyone in the league, I mean, that's just the nature of this business. It's a performance business where every single year, you know, people are coming in to try and replace you. And that's the reality of it. It's not malicious or anything like that. That's just the nature of playing professional sports. And... you know, we can. It's fun to joke about it, you know, and it is what it is. And I've, you know, been on the other end of that many times, especially in my early career in New England. I was probably drafted over every single year for 4 years straight, and didn't work out for any of them. But that's what you have to do, and you have to fight your way in. I'm sure a lot of guys in this team are feeling that pressure, and that's what builds a good championship team: is competition and guys coming in ready to work and. You know, take a job in this league. This is a man's league, and you have to go and take a job.
Do you view this draft as the team's validation in the job that they feel like you are doing and can continue to do here potentially?
I think so. I think there. You know, we have a lot of different needs. You know, I've never built a roster.
Yeah.
Obviously, not taking interior in the early part of the draft is a slight validation towards our performance. But again. You know, it's a what have you done for me lately business. You know, there's a lot of football to be had. We haven't even put a helmet on this year. And I'm excited to, you know, welcome our two new additions and kind of get them onboarded and, you know, see if they can help contribute to a big year ahead.
All right. There is Ted Karras, Bengals center, who's in the last year of his contract, about the joy. Yes, D-line, Chris Jenkins, way to go. Yeah. Can only imagine the seeds at that dinner on Friday night. You know, I sort of wrote about this. I have a story up now, which is, you know, kind of going through the depth chart and a little bit of analysis of where things stand now after the draft and really free agency and some of the plan going forward. And you know, I think Ted Karras would be an extension candidate at this point. We'll see if that's something that comes up in August, even if just for a year. You know, maybe you can give a deal where you give him a little bit of raise and give him another year. That certainly seems like something that should be maybe potentially in the cards for him. And I would guess this draft maybe suggests that the Bengals would be interested in that as well. I mean, Matt Lee is, that's great, but you're still talking about a seventh round pick, even the best case scenario, you know, and there's a lot of good reviews of Matt Lee out there. People are really excited about what he could possibly be, but you're still talking about a seventh round pick. You're still going to need to see it. So we'll be very curious to see if that's a direction that thing goes in August. All right. But for now, the direction that we know things are going are towards tomorrow night, Tuesday night, 7 o'clock down at Nation Kitchen and Bar. It's going to be awesome. Come on down, live show, myself, Jay, Mark Shelifo, Bengals Director of College Scouting, Mike Potts, will be down there, and we will be talking all about this draft, the path to it, and anything else that can come up. Of course, we'll hang out afterwards. We'll be taking some of your questions. We put Mark in charge of that. So make sure you get him the questions. He's the he's always the king of organizing everything. You know it's going to be under control if he's at the lead of it. So it'd be good to have that going on. We hope to see you down there. Have some drinks and kick it. I know he's excited. I believe Mo and Mark are going to be very closely monitoring Knicks Sixers. Game 5 is going to be happening that evening. The Reds' first pitch is at 9:40, so it should be a great night. Great night down there at Nation, and we all will be down there. We hope to see you. All right, thanks everybody for listening, and we'll talk to you next time. Have a good one.